Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can gather together like this as a family, as your children, to sit around your word. And your word says that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, as your word goes out, I pray that it does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That the name of Jesus is exalted in this place this morning. And Father, even as I speak, I ask that you anoint these words that are of you, Lord. Won't you just anoint them to set the captives free? Knowing too that if you do not anoint your word, it is just another lecture. It's just another message that has absolutely no power. So I trust this morning, Father, that as your word goes out, that it does touch hearts and touches lives, and that there's a change that takes place in each one of us as we are exposed to the truth of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, folks. I'm very excited about today, because over the next 8 Sundays, right, we're going to be having a good look at the book of Galatians, or this is Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And this morning, I'm just going to be kind of laying out a foundation for this. So this is now part 1 in the series, and the title of today's message is God's Grace is Good News. God's Grace is Good News. It really, really is good news. And I'm sure that after I've shared a little bit today, you will see what good news the grace of God really is. You know, Galatians, we see it as a vigorous, vigorous attack against the gospel of works. Because, in the times, and even now today, there are so many people, it's about their works, it's about what they do, kind of trying to please God and trying to earn salvation. Amen. And this, what we hear today, you'll see it's all about grace, and it is not about works. So this Galatians, as I say, is a vigorous attack against the gospel of works, but it is also a real defense of the gospel of faith. We need to be men and women of faith. So blessings actually come from God. They come from God on the basis of faith and not the law. Not the law. And the law actually will declare that you and I are guilty if we embrace the law. And if we are guilty, it imprisons us. But faith sets us free so that we can actually enjoy the grace that Jesus purchased for us at Calvary. So, there is a but here, all right? Because so many people sitting in churches around the world embrace the grace of God. People embrace it. But it's at times a greasy grace, because people seem to think, because I'm now under grace, I can actually go out there and do my own thing. I can do whatever I want to do. And that is really not what grace is all about. I mean, I've heard it. You know, you'll say to somebody that's part of a church, you know, how's it going? Well, brother, you know, I'm just enjoying the grace of God. And, you know, I don't really go to church anymore because I'm not under law. I'm under grace. And God's grace is just so amazing. We have to be very, very careful that we don't, how can I say, abuse the grace that the Lord has actually given to us. So grace is there. If we are operating in grace, it will produce the fruits of righteousness through a Spirit-led lifestyle. And we need to be Spirit-led. We are children of the Most High God. We have God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And the Bible says that we should be those who are led by the Spirit of God. So let's just get into this morning as we have a look at Galatians. Okay, so what is happening in Galatia? Galatia, you know, today would probably be modern-day Turkey. That's where Galatia was. And Paul had actually gone to Galatia basically to set up churches. So he went and he was planting churches all over the place. And this was his first missionary kind of journey or trip into that area. And you can read all about this if you go and read Acts, which is the Acts of the Apostles. You can go and read Acts 13 and Acts 14 if you want to know more about this. And he actually told them that salvation is by grace and that it is not by works. right? That to receive salvation, the only way to receive salvation is through the grace of God, and there is absolutely no other way to get saved. This is what he was sharing with these people. And remember that grace is God's undeserved favor, God's unmerited favor. The Bible speaks about this. And as soon as Paul started moving on to different areas, what happened is other people came into these areas, these what you would call false teachers. And they were now kind of presenting a different gospel right there, and they were confusing the Galatians by speaking something different to what Paul had actually said to them. And this was very, very concerning. So they were actually claiming, these guys were actually claiming as they came in, they said, right, you know, spoke about the Christianity and grace, and they mentioned a whole bunch of things which we'll have a look at. But they would say that you have to first become a Jew. You have to become Jewish before you can become a Christian. This is what they were saying. So if you got your Bibles, let's just clarify that. In Galatians 5 verse 1 it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Don't get back under the law. Don't, you know, go back into slavery right there. And then verse 2 says, look, he says, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, right? Now this is kind of putting yourself back under the law. If you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Absolutely no advantage. He says in verse 3, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So if you are going to go out there and you put yourself back under the law of God, back under the law, right? That's fine, but then Jesus is worthless to you. He's of absolutely no use at all. You've put yourself under the law, and he says, now make sure that you keep the whole law. Don't break any of those rules, those regulations, those laws. He says, you are severed, verse 4, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. So you are either under the grace of God or you are under the law. This is what he's saying. It's your call. But if you do not accept the grace of God and you choose to put yourself under the law, make sure that you stick to the law and don't break any of those rules and regulations right there. And it's quite interesting. So he, you know, if you look further on, people were doing exactly the same thing in Antioch as well, right? As Paul and then would move on. And they were saying that you had to be circumcised to be saved. If you want to receive salvation, you have to be circumcised. In Acts 15 verse 1 it says, but some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So what they're saying, right? So get the picture. Paul, you know, planting these churches, he's teaching them the truth and he's moving on. And as he goes, you're getting these false teachers coming in and teaching these guys a different gospel. And this is basically why Paul actually wrote this letter, you know, to the churches in Galatia. And the problem was that many of these people were starting to believe these false teachers. You know, because Paul and them have moved on and these other guys are there and they started to believe them. What happened is that they then started to question Paul and they started questioning Paul's authority and they started questioning Paul's teaching, what they had actually learned from Paul. So let us have a look at this. Let's get right to the beginning of Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. And let's now have a look what is actually going on there so that you and I can come up with some of the conclusions, you know, in terms of what was happening and what happened at that time. So, if you've got your Bible, Galatians 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, now it's very interesting here how Paul starts speaking to them. He starts speaking very, just notice the tone first of all, okay. He says, Paul, an apostle, I want to stop there. Remember, we spoke about this last week. He says, Paul, an apostle. Did he call himself Apostle Paul? All right? Did he give himself the title of apostle? Or no, he didn't. He says, my name is Paul, and what I do, I'm an apostle. And this thing of titles, folks, this is becoming a big problem in the church, especially in Africa, right? Giving titles. He says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia, so we can see he's speaking very gently to them right here. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That was his introduction of his letter. Wasn't that nice? Huh? Very comforting. Next verse. So here, as I say, his introduction is very, very pleasant. Now he gets down to the nitty-gritties in verse 6. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Change of tone here. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you. These are the false teachers and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So people are coming in. I've presented the gospel to you. I've presented the truth. And now these false teachers are coming in with another gospel that is distorted. And you guys are starting to embrace this. Verse 8. Then he says this. But even if we, in other words, Paul and you know whoever was with him, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we have preached to you, let him be cursed. This is hard stuff. He's shooting from the hip here, right? Let him be cursed. Some translations say, let him be condemned. Some translation says, let him be condemned to hell. Don't know what your Bible says. He says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be cursed. For I am now seeking the approval of man or God. He's asking a question. Am I now seeking the approval of man? I want to be a man pleaser. Or am I seeking the approval of God? He says, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have, you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. It's not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, he says. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism. Now we know what Paul was like. Do you remember Paul? Before his conversion, Paul was out there and he was stomping out Christianity at every turn. And he was zealous and he was passionate and he would make sure that these Christians, that this Christianity thing would not take off. Listen to this. He says, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently. He was violent in terms of his persecution. And I tried to destroy it, he says. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many my own age. So there were obviously a whole lot of them as they were progressing and studying and learning about the Jewish customs and so on. And he says, listen guys, you know, the guys my own age, I was far, far ahead of them in terms of how I was progressing in all of this. He says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many my own age. Among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among Gentiles, I did not immediately consult anyone, Paul says. Right? In other words, when he received salvation, right? Nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas or Cephas, however you want to pronounce it, who is actually Peter, right? I went to visit Peter and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person, right? I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. He was unknown in person because he hadn't been there yet, but man, the churches knew exactly who this guy is, right? He's the guy that has been persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, they were only hearing it and they said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. Can you imagine that? You know, you're hearing something like that where somebody is continually coming against you and trying to stomp out whatever it is, and then suddenly there's a turnaround. Something happened there. There was a huge turnaround. So what is it that Paul is actually preaching? And we see right from the very, very beginning that he, Paul, is preaching a message of grace. Grace. Again, that undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. Verse 6, it says, I'm astonished. You can kind of see the anguish here. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Folks, it's happening today. People turn into a different gospel. People don't like to come into a church where they hear the word of God. It's much more comfortable to go and get your ear tickled somewhere else where you're kind of hearing what you want to hear. We need to rise up, really, as believers when it comes to this thing. Right back then, turn into a different gospel. Not that there is another one, he says, but there are some who trouble you, these false teachers, who want to distort the gospel of Christ. So, when Paul established these churches, he preached salvation by grace and grace alone. That's what he preached, salvation by grace. And I want to say, folks, this is good news. This is really good news, that we don't have to earn our salvation. It's by grace alone. And so the first thing that we really need to realize about a message of grace is that grace is good, good, good news. It really is good news. Verse 6, let me read it. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. So they are turning now, like many today, then even, they are turning to a different gospel, different to the one that is of grace. Basically, you know, you see a turning to Christ or turning away from Christ. You'd think that these people would be embracing the Lord. People today would be embracing the Lord. So they turn it from Christ, right here, for the one that would be kind of paying for their sins. He was on that cross and he paid for the sins of mankind. They are turning from the Christ who died. There was a death, a burial, there was a resurrection, and there was an ascension. They are turning away from that Christ. They are turning away from the Christ that took all their punishment upon himself. We know what he went through. And they are turning away from a Christ that actually gave them righteousness. Because when you receive that Christ, you become righteous. You become the righteousness of God. They didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. None of us. And folks, that's really what grace is. It is that undeserved favor of God. That we can receive salvation, but we cannot earn it. Because nothing that you and I can do within ourselves is good enough to receive salvation through our works. And this is the message that Paul was sharing with them. So then some others actually came along. And they said, you know, okay, Jesus' death, when Jesus died, and his resurrection, so they spoke about his death and his resurrection, made it possible to have salvation. So what some of them were saying, But, okay, you first had to become a Jew and be circumcised. So now they were even saying, okay, you can do all that, you know, what Jesus did, but you still have to be circumcised and you have to be a Jew. So Paul, you know, Paul is actually freaking out. He's actually saying, hang on a second, wait. This is nonsense. Paul is saying, just wait a minute. You know, this is not good news. Paul was not excited about this. He was saying that this was not good, you know, good news. He was saying to you, this is not the gospel. Stop. This is not the gospel. This is not the gospel that I preached. And he actually, in fact, what he was saying is, this, what you guys are embracing, is bad, bad news, because the grace plus anything is bad news. You can't add anything to grace. It's just grace. Grace plus anything is bad news. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who you called in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one. So when we add something or add anything to the work of what Jesus did on the cross to receive salvation, we are basically saying that, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. But you know what? It's just not enough. All right? It has to be what you did, Jesus, on the cross, plus something. And this is his message. Folks, the truth is that by believing in Jesus as our Savior and believing in the work that he did on the cross, it is by that we receive salvation and we receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in John 1 verse 12 it says, but to all who did receive him, to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So if you believe in him and you believe in his name and you believe what he did for you and you confessed of your sins, you have the right to be called a child of the Most High God. Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That must be a scripture that we all kind of, it's our default mode. For by grace, that undeserved favor, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. In other words, you know, to be saved, you can't work at it. You can't do something to receive salvation. He says, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that any may boast. And folks, the problem on our planet today, that the Creator has sent his only begotten Son to mankind as a gift. All you have to do is receive this gift of Jesus to receive salvation. And what is happening? People are saying, absolutely no way. They're either saying, no ways, I don't want Jesus. Or they're also saying, okay, I'll have Jesus plus. You know, what else? And we start adding on to that. So we as believers, us as Christians, we need to be, how can I say, very, very careful that we don't get caught up in all types of legalism and works stuff. We need to check our hearts. It's so easy that we start going through rules and regulations and trying to earn God's favor. Oh God, you know, I'm going to church because I have to go to church. We need to be here because we want to be here. Oh, I better go and read my Bible. No. We need to read our Bible because we desire to draw close to Him and know all about Him. Oh, I better go and pray for an hour. Folks, these are rules and regulations that we start putting in. And when we start to do these things, you'll start to see that your walk with the Lord just becomes dry and stagnant and it's not going anywhere. So making Jesus, when we make Jesus Lord and we receive Him as Savior, it's that gets us into heaven. That's how we get salvation. That's how we get into heaven. Going to church is a good thing. Okay? It doesn't get you into heaven. And the problem is there are too many people sitting in churches today, Sunday, all around the world, that they're sitting in church, they're not going to heaven. How can you say that? It's true. because it's a form of religion. It's people just going through the motions where there is no relationship. They have never, ever made that decision to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So yes, it's good that we go to church. The Bible speaks about that. Let's go to church. We need to be here. Do not neglect the gathering together of the saints. But going to church or coming to church doesn't get you into heaven. Right. Reading your Bible. It's a good thing that we read our Bibles. But I want to tell you, reading your Bible is not going to get you into heaven. Doing good things and good works. We all need to be doing those things. I want to tell you, it doesn't get you into heaven. So don't get me wrong. All of these things are good. Reading your Bible and praying and all of these things, going to church. What they do is actually draw us closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And where we just have a deeper walk with Him, a deeper relationship with Him. But I want to tell you, they don't get you into heaven. So even here, you know your heart, right? If you haven't stood and confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and repented of your sins, right? As the Bible says, right? You need to ask yourself, am I saved? I trust that every single one of us are. But folks, that is how we get into heaven, by making that decision to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And not just Savior that we go into heaven, but Lord. And when we make Him Lord of our lives, we start to do what He tells us to do. Is that true? In fact, the word says that people will see a change in you because they will see fruit in your life. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel message. Right. So, like I said, as we do these things, we need to do these good things. But we need to make sure, first of all, that we have received salvation, that we are born again, that we are children of the Most High God, that we have God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, that there is a shift in and a change and a desire to draw closer and closer to Him. Because, like I said, others will know us by our fruits. But the good works that we do, we're just doing good works. They don't get us into heaven. So when we actually out there and we are speaking to people that don't know Jesus, that have never received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, we need to stick to the message of the good news. We need to make sure that we are presenting the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that we receive salvation through grace and faith. That is how we get saved. Grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see too that Paul, what was he? He was a messenger of grace. In Galatians 1 verse 1 it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches in Galatia. Verse 10 says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or God? I think we have to ask ourselves that question. Are we man pleasers, or are we God pleasers? And sometimes I want to say, folks, that when we are committed to doing God's things His way, you're going to find man is not going to be happy with you. That's just the way it is. But we have to settle this thing on the inside of us. Are we truly God pleasers or man pleasers? And this is what he says. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And that goes for us. If we are still trying to just please man, we really need to look at ourselves and say, you know, are we servants of Christ? Because we see what's happening in the world where there is a rejection of believers around this planet. And it's the persecution is getting worse. But the good news, folks, is that this is exciting times for the church. All right? The times we're living in right now are really exciting times for the church if we are really plugged in and kind of drawing close to God and just being led by His Spirit and allowing Him to have His way in our lives. Because it's us, the church of Jesus, is the light in the dark world at the moment. And don't let your light go out. Don't let your light start flickering. For... Where was I? If we were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me, this is what Paul is saying, this gospel that I preached and I brought to you, that was preached by me, is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. That is how, and it's the same Paul that wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. It was under that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand a few things about messengers. Remember, he's a messenger. A few things about messengers. What is a messenger? Right? A messenger, we see with him here, delivers something from someone to someone. Is that right? Is that what a messenger is? Right. So Paul here is delivering a message that he received from Jesus to the Galatians. That's what he's doing right there. And also who the message actually comes from is very, very important. Very important. Paul is actually reminding the Galatians that this message that he brought is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying to them, I did not get this message from any man. So he got it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what's interesting, because they could have said to him, now hang on a second, Paul, you say you got this message from Jesus. How do we know that this message is legit? He tells them. Because the message that he brought is authenticated, and it's authenticated by signs and wonders and miracles. Right? It says in Acts, you go back to the book of Acts 14 verse 1, I just want to read it. He says, now at Iconium, they enter together into the Jewish synagogue. So Paul and them, they're going into the Jewish synagogue, and he spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. So he was just sharing the truth, you know, this message that the Lord had given him. And it says that many Greeks and many Jews just received it. Just like that. But listen, verse 2 says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. And there is always going to be somebody in our life that will come along and try to poison what the Lord is kind of doing in your life, and you know the what you're going through and your walk with him, somebody coming along and trying to poison it. Happened right there. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So the remained, it says, for a long time, listen to this, speaking boldly for the Lord. So they continued giving this message boldly for the Lord, and the Lord who bore witness to the word of his grace. How did he do it? Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So we should be operating the same way. That as we are presenting the truth of the gospel, as we are praying for people, that there's a godly intervention in the life of that person. Signs, wonders, miracles. So we can see here that the Lord actually confirmed the message that was from him. How did he do it? With his miracles. I can tell you something. You don't want to hear from Dave on a Sunday. I hope. Am I right? You haven't come here to hear what I think. I trust that we are all here to hear what the Lord has to say. Not what Dave thinks or what my opinion is. And that's another thing. We have to be mindful and wary where, you know, people are not referring to the Word of God and it's just people's interpretations and what they think. And you've heard it. You've heard people say, well, you know, maybe even from the pulpit, well, I really think this and I believe that. And serious. It's not what they think, not what I think. It is what the Word of God actually says. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How can somebody believe in Jesus if they've never heard about Jesus? And how are they to hear, those people that haven't heard about Jesus, how are they to hear without someone preaching. Guess who the Lord has called to preach? Us. Us. Remember what I said last week? As we go down these stairs, we are entering into our ministry field right there. So folks, we, all of us here, we need to be faithful. Faithful in delivering the message that the Lord has given us to deliver. Each one of us. And we know what it is. We need to tell them. Even if they don't believe. They need to hear the truth of the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord of Lords. So this message of salvation is through grace. And the messenger is very, very important. Right? I want to ask us. Just bring this thing home. What type of messenger are you and I? What type of message are you and I giving in our sphere of influence? If we are believers, we are, wherever we are delivering a message. What message are you giving to those people around you? What message am I giving? This is for all of us. And most of the time, it's not even the words that we are speaking. It is how we conduct ourselves in the environment that we're in. I've said before, it's no good us coming to church and we're all good church people and, you know, we gather together and we go home and we live like I don't know what. All right? We go to work. People don't even know that we are Christians because of the way we conduct. We just fit in so well into the world system. I'm just saying, folks, we need to talk about these things. You know, it was Francis of Assisi. You know what he said? He said, preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. Think about it. I want to tell you, they're watching us. They're watching you. We say that we are believers. What an unbeliever wants to see is the way you conduct yourself, the way we actually operate out there, you know, in this world. Okay? What message are you delivering out there because of your actions? How are we doing it? Does your lifestyle match up with what you say? Oh, brother, I'm a Christian. Does your lifestyle match up with what you say? Just asking. How we actually live our lives matters. And this is what, you know, part of what Paul is saying. And Paul's life, when you have a look at his life, it shows a manifestation of the grace of God. In verse 13 it says, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism. Listen to this, right? How I persecuted the church of God violently. I mean, I wonder if he can even forgive himself. I'm sure he did. And tried to destroy it. He tried to destroy it. Do you remember with Stephen? You remember Stephen? They stoned him. Guess who was there? Paul. This Paul. Throw harder, guys. Throw more stones. He was there. You read about it. It's in the Word. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many my own age, among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. And then Paul felt God's call to preach. What happened? It was on a road to Damascus, right? And he continues saying these words in verse 22. He says, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. So, like I said earlier on, right? He hadn't been there. He was unknown in person, he says. I'm pleased he put the word person in there. Man, they all knew about him. They all knew he was the one that was trying to stomp out Christianity. Then he says, they only were hearing it. He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Hey, they glorified God. Isn't that incredible? You see it. You know, that horrible person that you're continually ministering to. You know that one? You're always just telling them, but they really, you know, difficult. Suddenly, the lights come on and they receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Isn't there a celebration that just takes place in your heart? Where you just get so excited. So we can see here that it is grace that actually changed Paul's life. And it's grace that has changed your lives. And it is this grace that actually changes the life of a person. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Some translations say he is a new creature. He's a new creation. Why are we a new creation? Because we now have God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling on the inside of us. And it goes on to say, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10. I just want to read this. Where he speaks a little bit about himself, right? And he says, for I am the least of the apostles. This is the same Paul. Unworthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, he says, I worked harder than any of them, any of those other apostles. I, Paul, worked harder than them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So God's grace, we see how the grace of God touched Paul and changed Paul, affected Paul. You know, the people were saying, you know, this man that formerly persecuted us, this man that had it in for us, this man that was trying to stomp out whatever we were trying to do, would be gate crashing our gatherings, is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. This was an amazing change. Incredible change took place. And I want to say, I'm sure all of us sitting here today have experienced that change. How we were before and what happened, that incredible change since we've made that decision to receive this grace. So why is it that those, just as I close here, I just want to ask this question, that those this progression seems to slow down on the inside of us. There's a change. We're all enthusiastic. We're excited about the things of God. And it's like, it just kind of peters out. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, this is Paul was actually speaking to the Lord. And then Jesus answered him. So Paul said, but he said to me, and this is now Jesus speaking. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. How many of us feel weak at times? I tell you something. In fact, I'm telling you sometimes, even on a Sunday morning, okay, you know, you're prepared. So I thought, man, I'm just feeling so flat. How do I share? All right? You know, the word. And every time I'm feeling like that, if I do feel like that, it's like this is the scripture I get. Where Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. He says, for when I'm weak, you as well, when you're weak, then I'm strong, because of what Jesus said. So, again, the question is, why is it that some of us experience, just it feels like this weakness just seems to be there and it's kind of ongoing and there is no power in our lives, right? Do you ever feel like that? And I really do believe that the answer is that we start to rely on our own strength, right? We start to rely on our own strength and not to put our trust in this amazing grace that is there for us, right? The Word of God is so clear that we are saved by grace. And if we are saved by grace, I want to say that that grace is good enough to keep you and I saved. True? We're saved by grace. So our growth in the Lord, while we are here anyway on planet Earth, it just requires that we start to rely more on the Lord and His grace. And this is a message that Paul is putting out there. And, you know, when we start becoming kind of lethargic in our own ways and our walk with the Lord and, you know, this thing about joy and this joyful living and this Christian life, and it seems to be slowing down, you'll find that at that point, when we're not plugging into this grace, that serving Him actually becomes like a duty. Like I said, you know, I feel I have to do this and I better do that because it's the right thing to do. And what happens then is that the Christian life actually becomes boring. The Christian life becomes burdensome. And really the Christian life just it slows down and your walk with the Lord is just stagnant. Right? So what happens then is we actually just become like those Pharisees. You know, do you remember every time Jesus would always be on a Sabbath? Jesus loved the Sabbath, you know, to heal somebody or set the captives free or cast out a demon or something. And then all the religious demons would start to rise up, you know, within the religious leaders of the time, with the scribes and the Pharisees. You can't set somebody free on the Sabbath, right? We see it. We start to be like that. Because that is just rules and regulations. We start going through the motions, rules and regulations. We follow rules. Start to follow rules. And when we do this, we start to miss out on the joy. We start to miss out on the presence of God. This is when we need to get back into that grace. We follow these rules and we start to miss out on having a relationship with Him, and a relationship becomes just a religion. There's huge difference between religion and relationship. So, folks, I want to say that walking in this grace is actually walking in His presence. And when we walk in His presence, we will change. We will change. Not too much you have to do, right? We will change. So we need to just ensure that we fill up on a daily basis at this spring of life, this life-giving water. And it's about making a decision. Really, let's just choose to walk by grace. Amen. Folks, this